Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Ladies in Red podcast for the Day Trippers. We had a bit of a forced hiatus. We had a pod that we did with Chris Shankly a couple of weeks ago, but it's technical difficulties, I'm afraid, and we're still waiting for that one to come out. It should be out within the next few days. But it's an auspicious occasion this week because we've had 2 clean sheets. So that's not something that we were used to at Liverpool. So that's brilliant. We're just going to gloss over the United game, bask in the glory of Maribor probably. And time permitting, we'll probably look ahead to Spurs as well and some questions and maybe a little bit of fun stuff at the end. We'll see. Today I've got with me, as usual, Kerry and Rupa. How are you girls?
Hi, good. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. You both at the United games?
Yes.
Yeah, we were.
Excellent stuff. But you couldn't contain your excitement.
It was more nerves.
Yeah. Before the game, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. But during and after?
During, I was more confident.
During, I mean, the atmosphere was mostly, you know, fantastic. But yeah, after not so much. I felt a little bit sour afterwards.
Yeah, definitely.
I heard the United fans were celebrating as though they'd won a cup at the end there, but anyway. we'll start there actually, because on the weekend we played United, as everybody knows, at 12:30 kickoff. It was 0-0, a bit boring, I've got to say. I mean, I had some people around for dinner that evening, and I was googling how to fold napkins in the middle of the game, so that's how interesting that was. I did manage to do an awesome job of it, though. But yeah, I mean, it was just typical United, wasn't it? Mourinho, or not United, maybe Mourinho. No intent to win, really. Defended well, as we know that they do. We couldn't really make that all-important breakthrough. Should have won. You know, we were the better team, so... it's always away with United, isn't it? I mean, we had similar kind of situation with them last year as well. And as I just mentioned, their fans were, I think, still there when Sky Sports were, you know, everyone had gone home and Sky Sports were saying bye-bye and the fans were all still there like they'd won some huge, massive game. But, you know, they obviously wanted the point a bit more than we did. We probably felt gutted at the end of that. We should have really have won it. A clean sheet. It was always a good thing, despite, you know, the doom mongers saying that there was no attack from United. But, you know, there doesn't necessarily have to be much attack against us. We don't really do well defensively most of the time. So a clean sheet, I think, is all brilliant with us, however we get it. So, Kerry, you were there. How was it? What are your thoughts on the game? Did you find, are there any highlights you can pick out? I mean, you know, it's a tough task, but I'm going to ask to see if you can make it any more interesting for us.
Yeah, so you're talking about the noise from the United fans end of the match. So I had to, like, you know, of course I was there. I had to run away to catch my lift leaving Anfield. So I had to run away real fast. But I heard some noise and I was thinking, I was like, what is that? Why are they so excited over there? I'm like, I understand that it probably, I mean, if I was a United fan, I would be happy as well coming away with that result, considering the fact that they just, you know, they just didn't seem to show up. You know, we had most of the possession and we had so many shots on target and they didn't go in. And as a United fan, I would be thinking, yeah, I'm really lucky, but to be excited like that and acting as if they won is just ridiculous. But I did hear that noise when I was leaving. I don't know, Rupa, did you hear that as well?
Well, I got out of there. I left after the game. That was the first time I think I actually heard the United fans. Like, I looked over, obviously they were making noise before the game. During, I heard nothing. I could literally just hear Liverpool fans. Yeah. I know I was obviously surrounded by Liverpool fans, but I could not hear them at all. I didn't see them move, nothing. No clapping. Awful. Awful fans.
No, I saw them during You'll Never Walk Alone clapping and trying to make some noise and trying to be at the time. I did not hear them. I was in the cop in 3 or 4 years sit. That was my first time ever. So I'll start there, Umar, and then I'll start talking about the game. But I have to mention that because I've never sat that high up in the cop And it was the worst day to do that. Don't get me wrong. The atmosphere is amazing. Everyone stands up there and you'll get the best banter, the best atmosphere in that section of the cop. But because there was a heat wave, oh my goodness, it was so hot. Everybody up there was sweating and smelly. It was gross.
Try doing that in May. It is awful. Absolutely. Like, literally, I wore a crop top to the game the other day and I was still sweating. Like,
come on, it wasn't that hot, was it?
It was. Like, I was wearing makeup and it melted off. My face was melting.
Yeah. I'm a Floridian, so I like, you know, it's 90 degrees back home, which is 30, 35 degrees here, something around that, you know. To you guys, it's like, oh, it's so hot, it's holiday weather. That's what I'm used to every day.
Yeah.
And standing in that cop, that's how bad it was. It was shocking. I'm usually wearing a jacket and a scarf, and sometimes I even wear gloves, and I'm probably the only one in the stadium wearing gloves, but I'm a Floridian, so cut me some slack. There was no, like, I literally had my jacket off the entire time. I was sweating, like you said, Rufo, like, I was shocked. I was like, it's the best place to be, like, considering the atmosphere and everything, because I've sat, like, lower level in the cop. Sometimes I've been disappointed with the atmosphere, and sometimes I'm like, come on, I'm a foreigner, and I'm like, louder than everybody else around me. What the hell is going on, you know? It's like, that was just absolutely insane up there. I loved it. And the best part about it, too, was I was surrounded by people who, you know, as I'm mentioning, foreigners. Like, a guy behind me was from Atlanta, loud as hell. He was just, he was awesome. But yeah, it was a sweaty mess, and it smelled bad. So, Rupa, I got to hand it to you for doing that every week.
Yeah,
sounds like the tube in the summer in London.
It's probably worse. It's literally like a sauna up there. But if Peter Moore's listening, get some air conditioning up there, please. I beg you. Fans, anything, just something.
This is England. You're not getting any air conditioning.
I need something. I'm not going to survive much longer. Has someone got fireworks going on?
You know, someone's decided to do some firecrackers or something, or someone's getting shot around where I live.
I hope it's the first one.
I've shut my windows and you can still hear it.
To be fair, it is Diwali today.
Oh, it's
so,
Diwali. Isn't
yeah.
It? So this is actually going to stay in the background now. Otherwise, I'll have to mute and you won't hear me.
You're
just going to have to enjoy the fireworks.
Well, embrace it. It's for us. It's for the ladies in red. People are so happy that we're doing another episode.
Exactly. People are actually, you know, the fireworks are for us. Yeah, that was it.
Why did I say it was Diwali?
Anyway, we've gone off track. I'm starting to hear about United.
Yeah, United. Yeah. So, Mourinho.
Sweaty, smelly. We were up to sweaty and smelly.
Sweaty, smelly. Parking the bus. Playing for a point. Typical United. I don't want that away. I want us to go for it. Like, just break them apart.
Well, Liverpool tried, I think, to be fair. It was more them lots kind of stifling the whole flow of the game, which is what they usually do, and not letting us. I mean, I think we tried. They defended well. They were getting a foot in on every ball that we tried to put through. A couple of really close chances. The Matic one being the obvious one. That De Gea, that little shit. Oh, that fax machine. Honestly, that fucking fax machine.
I'm the same way as you, because I'm like, seriously, we would have won games if it wasn't for him against them. And I'm like, I get so frustrated because I'm like, how the hell did he just save that one? Oh yeah, he's like one of the best keepers in the world, and I hate admitting that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, oh, well, hang on, he's not a striker. Maybe a striker would have scored that goal. And he did more than enough to put that away. It was just him and his little shitty foot got in the way. And that was annoying. And they just so jammy. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Champions League goal that they scored last night. Absolutely, utterly ridiculous. That's jammy they are.
I missed it, but I don't want to hear about it.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay, well, it was a free kick, and the goalkeeper got hold of it, but just went over the line slightly with the ball in his hand.
Typical.
So they just tend to, like, I mean, all right, De Gea is a brilliant goalkeeper. Let's not take it away from him, but just, like, get on my nerves, they do, really.
What about the penalty shout in that game, in the United game?
On, remind me.
Coutinho, I think? And even Klopp said, like, oh, I felt like we had a huge chance in the first half and a penalty. were just unlucky.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
One of those things, isn't it, where it's just nothing's going for us.
That should have been a penalty. Yeah. It's hard. It was hard for me. I know we talked about this before. It's hard for me sometimes when I'm at Anfield to actually determine it and see, because there's no, you know, playback. But when I saw Match of the Day later on, I agree that that definitely should have been a penalty, which makes it even more frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, we still should have put some of those chances in. I mean, there's no excuse. And then, I mean, I've heard, you know, people trying to give the excuse of not having Mane. And I'm like, that's not an, you know, that's not an excuse. We can't use that as an excuse. We have to play without, you know, someone who's out. And it's just frustrating to see that many chances over and over and over, same thing. But like you said, though, Umar, like that was just too frustrating, just that De Gea got his foot on that one ball. Because I felt like that, you know, we finally were down, you know, hopefully break them down next time. I'm like, we finally break them down, and then De Gea has a freaking foot that's like a miracle worker. So... yeah, just the same story. Same as last season. Like, you know, you get so excited for the biggest match of the season. I have a ticket. I had a ticket this season. Had a ticket last season. So excited for the biggest match, right? And then you show up, and it's just two buses were parked this time. So.
Yeah, it's just annoying. Annoying, but I mean, I guess we didn't lose. That was a good thing. I mean, that's the only positive I can take away from that game. Not that they did anything much. Mignolet made quite a good save down at the other end from Lukaku. You know, people will probably say it was straight at him or some rubbish like that. But you know what? If it didn't go in, he did stop it, and that's fair enough. And Lovren had Lukaku in his pocket. That's a good one. That's good.
Yeah, I was going to say Lovren had a good game. And Lukaku got taunted by the cop. Loved it.
Yeah,
fantastic.
But Lovren,
what did they say?
Oh, blue and white shite. Hello.
Yeah,
I was enjoying that one. Lovren played well, and like, where's his praise? I've seen very little. Whereas, like, as soon as he does one thing wrong, everyone will be straight at him, like calling for his head. I really hate that. Like.
Yeah.
Our fans are so quick to criticise, but they will not praise.
Depends who it is. I think that there's just, you know what it's like. There's this agenda. Certain players. There's certain players who can do no wrong and vice versa. So he's one of them. I mean, he hasn't done himself any favours over the years he's been at Liverpool. But, you know, I don't like, I'm not talking about an overall. I just like to say if he's had a good game, then we should be able to turn around and say he's had a good game.
Well, yeah,
and
he takes
the brunt of it a lot. Gomez was really good beside him as well. I mean, like I said, all right, maybe they didn't offer much, and that's what you're going to get. People are going to turn around and say, oh, well, there was, you know, they didn't attack, but, you know, it's not like they just sat there for the whole 90 minutes and did absolutely nothing. You know, Liverpool, you know, did stop them to a certain extent as well. So I think, you know, you're right. We should put the praise there as well. But, you know, some people just can't do things like that, can they? Mm. Find it really hard. But anything else you want to add about the United game, or should we just... forget it now, fuck it off and move on.
Lovren said he should move on. I think we should too.
So brilliant. So we played everybody knows we played Maribor on Tuesday night in the Champions League. It was a must win, really, wasn't it, after the two draws that we had before, because although draws aren't hugely terrible results in a group stages, it was the way that we drew them. I think both games we came from positions where we should have won it, really. So Maribor, you know, the goals that people kept saying had dried up, and the chances we weren't taking, you know, like a goal bonanza, wasn't it? Seven goals in all. And, you know, we got them all back with interest, really. I mean, I think before the game, we'd all have taken a tense 1-0, and I think we were all a bit worried because, although it's Maribor and people, again, will say things like it's only Maribor, it's not all that cut and dry with us, is it? We're always a bit, it's always the opposite with us, really. We always do well against the bigger teams, and against the smaller teams we struggle. But, you know, they did come out to play, actually. I mean, I think they had more intent than United did the other day, and they lost 7-0. So that was something. At least they had a little bit of a go. I relaxed at about 4-0. I don't know how you guys were feeling, but at 4-0, I was okay. at 3-0, I was still a bit, you know, hang on, you know, this is Liverpool. We have, we've yeah, got well, a bit of a dodgy pass.
Three goals in 20 minutes. I thought there's still like another 70 minutes. So we're Liverpool. So I'm not going to be too confident. But then another goal. And I was like, get the pints in and let's celebrate.
Yeah. And then I think that early goal kind of really sets the tone. I mean, it's.
Yeah, definitely.
It lets you. It's really, really important because the longer it goes on, the more nerves the crowd feels, the nerves and the players, it filters through to the players, and it kind of lets you just play a bit freer, doesn't it, and just carry on and doing your game.
I'll be honest because I don't judge, but I since I work USA hours, even if I'm overseas, I was on a call and I was super anxious. I was on a call when this game started, so I'm super anxious for the game to get for my call to get over. The game's on. I have to put it on. It was on in the background, but it was on silent, and I, you know, was focused on my call because it was a really important call for work. Which sometimes I'm not always as good about that. But as soon as I was done with my call, looked at the game, I said, I almost fell out of my seat. I was like, "What? We're up 4-0. How is this happening?" I just couldn't believe it.
We don't score goals. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. It was as if. We were finally putting in all the goals that we had missed over the last few games. So it was nice. I mean, I feel like we really just needed that. We definitely deserved a break. You know, as much of the game that I saw, it was just fantastic. And our supporters were nice and loud, as far as I could hear on the telly. But one thing I have massive respect for Maribor for is that I heard their supporters singing and still supporting their club even after being down like 5-0, 6-0. I was really surprised by that and just had massive respect for that. I don't know if you could hear that on the TV as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read someone saying, was it you, Rupa, maybe? You put a tweet out, didn't you, or something?
I'm not sure.
No, it was somebody else saying, yeah. You know, like, you know, some people who leave end matches early.
Yeah.
If their team's losing. So it was kind of like, you know, look at these guys. They were 5-6-0 down. And
a lot of European teams are like that, though. But obviously at Anfield, you just see people just leaving. Like, even if we're winning, people will leave early. Like.
Yeah, so that's something that you pointed out that I noticed that I get frustrated about. Because I'm like, how many people are dying to be at this match? How long is our waiting list for season tickets? And people are always fighting over, you know, getting tickets. And then you see people leaving early. And sometimes I get, you know, sometimes if I see someone with kids or someone in a wheelchair, I understand why they're leaving early. But I'm like, there's no way all these people really need to leave early. If you're there, I'm there until the final whistle.
Like, yeah,
leaving
definitely.
Section 305, Rupa, I know it takes a half an hour just to get down from there. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Well, the trick is climb over the seats. But obviously if you're like me and you can't be bothered half the time, then you just wait.
Yeah.
Tell everyone. I literally had to tell everyone to move because people just stood there. Like, I was like, what are you waiting for? Just get out. But yeah. No, I don't get why people leave early. You're not going to, like, there's going to be like blocked roads and stuff like that anyway. So there's coaches that need to leave everything. So it's pointless.
But exactly. And that's why I thought their fans were really class. I just had a lot of respect for that.
No, definitely.
I just think also with teams, the smaller teams, and no disrespect to Maribor, but out of the four teams in the group, they are kind of considered the smaller team. That for them, Liverpool coming to their hometown and to their stadium is a massive deal, and it's kind of like they don't want to leave early. They want to still. They kind of maybe expected it not to win, but maybe not by so much, but. They wanted to stay there to the end, support their team. It's like a big, massive event for them that Liverpool are in town. So that might be another aspect to it as well. So, yeah, man, that's great that they stayed till the end and cheered their team on, regardless of how badly they lost in the end, really. But, we've scored 7 goals. Milner came in. What are your thoughts on Milner? I mean, he had a really good game. I was kind of pleased to see his name in the lineup myself. And I tweeted at the time, I like this. I like the idea of Milner being in the team. And it kind of proved himself, I think. And
yeah, no, definitely.
Don't know if you saw afterwards, the fan base was like, oh, Milner versus Hendo now. Do we drop Henderson for Spurs?
Oh,
it's so ridiculous because why not just be happy that we can call upon either now? You know that if Henderson's not there for some reason or if Henderson needs a break or, you know, God forbid he gets an injury or whatever, you've got Milner who can come in and you know he will do a job. But we just start pitting the two against each other like there's some guys like McGregor versus Mayweather shit like that. But
no, I think he did
one of those boxing photos of Milner versus Henderson or Chan versus Henderson or whatever it is that
don't encourage them. Don't encourage them.
No.
No, I think he did really well. I think he's a good utility, like, as like Klopp calls him, the utility man. It's good that, like you said, we can call upon him when we need him. And he played really well. He's got, like, the qualities, he's got the experience. He looked a lot younger. He's 31. He did not look 31 the other night.
I think he ran the most as well that night. I'm sure, yeah. I read that somewhere as well.
Yeah.
I think he did the most running. And he kind of came, it was in those forward areas a lot. He had a couple of assists, I think, as well.
Yeah.
And you kind of think that, you know, he's always there or thereabout, trying to make something happen. So that was really good. But yeah, I thought we had an excellent game.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
what about you, Kerry?
Yeah, I mean, like, as I mentioned, I didn't get to catch the entire game, but as far as I could see, he definitely treated it like it was a big deal. You know, like, it wasn't just Maribor, like, this is a big game, I'm going to step up and be a leader on the pitch. So, yeah, I mean, definitely really impressive from him. But like you said, I saw those tweets too while comparing them to Hendo. I'm like, just stop pitting them against each other. Like you said, I mean, we need to have good, solid players that are backup, good, solid players so that we can, you know, we always said this, you know, over the last couple of seasons that, you know, we had such a thin squad and injuries would really prohibit us from, you know, being able to play all the matches that we would have. And it's like, so then once we do have players that can come in and do well, it's like we have to, you know, we have supporters that pit players against each other. And I'm like, why? Why can't we, like you said, why can't we just be happy that we have options?
I think within 2.3 seconds of the final whistle, there were about 563 polls. Milner should start or Henderson should start against Spurs on the weekend.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, he's had other great games as well. But I mean, it's like, one game, and so we're all of a sudden just gonna,
like, the world's changed over one game. But yeah, I mean, he's had a great game. Like I said, it's excellent for us that we can call upon him when he's needed. And if he does come in at the weekend, he comes in at the weekend, brilliant, fantastic, we know he can do the job. And if Henderson comes back, we know he, you know, he's got his own strengths as well.
And so, Ox scored as well.
I'm so glad. Glad.
I was happy for him as well. I mean, because I don't know, that's another player that gets attacked often. He hasn't even been given a chance. And when he scored, I was like, oh, thank God. Not that that's going to be enough for some of our supporters to, like, get off of his back, you know?
No,
and of course he has to prove himself, just like everyone else does, but he deserves a chance.
Yeah, but he came on against United, and he was incredible straight away. Like, I'm pretty sure he's improved over the international break, but he was brilliant then, so I thought he should maybe get a start against Maribor, but he didn't. But he had a chance, like, straight away.
Yeah.
And
he had a couple of wild shots, didn't he? And,
yeah.
You know, the goal happened for him as well. I think it's more with him is that a preconceived notion of what he was like at Arsenal. And then he's only been there, what, a month or something? It was 2 months, so I can't even remember when we signed. Was it deadline day? I can't even remember. But he's just been there literally 5 minutes, and you've got to give... I mean, I think, you know, Klopp can really help him develop to that next level. But, you know, it remains to be seen. I can sit here and say all these things now, and it might not work out, but I'm hoping it will, because Klopp obviously saw something in him to be able to bring him in. So who are we to question Klopp, eh? We're not allowed to do that. So I'm assuming Oxlade-Chamberlain was your favourite goal, because it was mine, just purely for the fact that it was Oxlade-Chamberlain and Sturridge assisted.
Yeah,
I'm emotionally attached to Sturridge. I'm ashamed to admit that. I don't care. I love him. But
I'm quite happy with the clean sheet, because obviously, as everyone knows, Karius is my boyfriend. So...
Oh, excuse me, there'll be some people who might have something to say about that.
Sorry, don't tell Peter.
Exactly. I think you know, I'm gonna have to point this pod into his direction. What minute is this? Let me tell him which minute to tune into.
Karius is handsome, I agree, but Emre Can is mine, so that's completely fine with me. You can have Karius.
Okay, well,
with Karius, is he fancies himself a bit. I don't like that.
No, I like it. He's like confident.
On Instagram, it's like,
yeah, but he's confident.
He's all that. You're not supposed to think you're all that. That's more attractive when you don't think you're
well,
all that.
Well, yeah,
you think you're all that, it kind of takes the shine off. But me. I don't know.
I don't like guys who won't admit that they're good looking. It's like the same with a girl. Like, if guys compliment a girl and then she's like, no, no, I'm not pretty. No, stop it. Like, just say thank you. Like, I've had this. Like, I used to be like that. And then people say, just take the compliment. Like, stop begging for more attention. But I wasn't.
Girls do that. I think girls do that.
Yeah, but guys can do it. Equal rights.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, but I just think sometimes he fancies himself a bit too much. All right, yeah, he's good looking and that, but
well, he can fancy me instead.
Anyway, we were talking about Karius and how I think a lot of people accredited the high press with him playing higher up as the, like, that sweeper role, and it's interesting to see if Klopp acts upon this, because there was noticeable difference, wasn't there? I mean, it's something that we've struggled with recently. So do you think maybe he's going to think, do you think that he's easing him in? Is there something happening there, or is it just that Mignolet's going to stay as the number one for now?
I think for now, at least until Christmas, Mignolet will stay as the number one. And then maybe there'll be a rotation.
Yeah, I agree. I think Mignolet is going to stay as number one as well. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They both make me nervous in different ways.
Yeah. Well, Karius makes you nervous in another way, though. Doesn't
he? Yeah, but we won't talk about that. Kind of way. Yeah.
But no, I want him to play every game. I want to see him get a run of games, because last season he was pulled out suddenly when he had a couple with that dodgy couple of games, and then there was all that Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher furore. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And then he was pulled out. I just think that was a bit premature. I think he should have stayed in and should have got that run of games, because I don't think that did his confidence much good anyway. But I'm not sure with the messing about with the goalkeeper is going to help the cause of the defence either, who can't really do the job with the one that they have anyway. But that would be interesting to see if, like I said, if Klopp, I doubt it. You know, I wrote it earlier in the week in my article that he doesn't seem as ruthless. He doesn't want to drop people, and I don't think that Mignolet's gonna find himself in that situation. I think Mignolet will stay where he is. But it was an interesting to see how Karius did affect the whole team's performance. So, yeah. So what about the group standings now? Because Moscow pulled off a bit of a surprise, didn't they?
Sevilla 5-1.
That was a bit out of the blue. I don't think anyone was expecting that, because Sevilla was kind of one of the bigger teams, let's say, in the group. Maybe it was between Liverpool and Sevilla. And now Moscow have sort of thrown a spanner in the works now, because it's like a three-way thingy. a three-way tie kind of thing. So Liverpool in pole position at the moment for that brilliant goal difference that they managed to put in, even though Moscow scored 5 as well. So what do you think on that then? I mean, we've got now Maribor again next, so that's at home, so I'm hoping that's a win-win situation. Spartak and Sevilla.
When's Spartak?
Look,
is that before Sevilla?
I think it's before. I'd have to check, but
Well, I'm hoping Sevilla's a win.
We're going to qualify?
Yes.
I think so. Well,
high hopes.
Looking good.
But I think we tend to do better away. So obviously, like the other day, we smashed them. I knew we'd win, but I didn't think we'd smash them. So I'm hoping at home. I think it won't be 7 goals. It maybe 5. I'll settle for 5. But away from home, I think Sevilla, we could win. Maybe 2 or 3 goals. And I hope so, because I'm not going all the way to Sevilla to see us lose.
Well, they're not the Sevilla that we previously knew. Obviously, it was Europa League that they were winning before for the last couple of years. But Champions League is a step too far for them. Hopefully, when we play them next, they'll still be in their little slump. But Spartak definitely causing a surprise there, and like I said, just throwing the whole group wide open now. We're on top, albeit on goal difference, but that's excellent result. So did you guys say that Oxlade-Chamberlain was your favourite goal of the 7?
I'd say so.
Or do you have a particular favourite out of the others? I mean, apart from maybe not just because it was Ox, but any other goals that stood out for you? Trent Alexander-Arnold at the end. That was a nice touch.
Trent was brilliant. He's got his crossing skills back again.
Yeah, he's on nicely.
I'll go with that arc goal as well, just because I'm happy for him to put that in. He needed a break. So.
Yeah, no, it was a good game, like for everyone.
Excellent. Do you think it's hopefully it's going to help just build the confidence and maybe kickstart something in the league now as well? I mean, we've got Spurs next, which takes us nicely onto the next bit. But do you think that this sort of, I hate saying it. I know it was only Maribor. But surely this has got to boost the confidence now. I mean, there was a clean sheet, 7 goals. I mean, that's surely got to go into the next game. Spurs have had a tough game on Wednesday. I mean, a really brilliant result there at the Bernabeu for them. 1-1 against Real Madrid. They could have almost nicked it at the end. But yeah, hopefully that's taken a lot out of them. By contrast, had a pretty easy game. So what do you guys make of that? I mean, defensively, we know that they're excellent. Up front, they can hurt us too. They've just, like, as I said, come off the back of a brilliant result. We've got Danny Rose might be coming back, but he's been out for a long, long time now. So hopefully he's not going to make much of an impact and he's too rusty. Mane's still out for us. Wanyama and Lamela still out for them. So, well, I still think they've got quite a lot going on. So it's not as if, you know, their injuries are going to hinder them too much. But yeah, Spurs kind of have always played into our hands with their style of play, don't you think? I mean, he's no Mourinho. He's always going to go out and try and win the game. So, and they've not beaten us in 5 years, I believe. I think 2012 was the last time they beat us. So that's a pretty good, you know, psychological advantage should be taken into the game, considering the week that's gone as well and everything that's happened in midweek. So what are your guys' thoughts on the game? Is anyone going? Kerry, I'll go to you first.
I mean, like you said, they haven't won against us in a while, and ever since Pochettino has been in charge, I believe. So I honestly think they're going to be going all out for us. I think, like you said, that was a decent result for them this week, and I think that I'm nervous about the game. I mean, I know that we're on a good high, but I hope that we're going to be more clinical up front, like, you know, we were this week, and that you know, I know that we'll create the chances. We always create the chances, but I just you know, hope that we can put a few in. But yeah, I mean, I am nervous. I think that they're going to be going all out for it.
And Rupa?
Yeah, I agree. Like, we've obviously got the confidence, and it's like the players know that they've had the ability to score. Like, we've had so many chances in the past, like, 4 or 5 games. And then finally, they took those chances on Tuesday night. So I'm hoping that we go to Wembley. Liverpool always, well, I say always, do all right at Wembley. And I'm hoping, like, Spurs sort of, like, fall into our hands, and then we can just get past them and get a few goals. Just like the obviously 2 clean sheets that help, that boosts the confidence of Mignolet and the defense as well. And that's a big thing that, like, we need going to Wembley.
I think they're still struggling at Wembley, aren't they? I believe did they win there recently, so they're still kind of in transition really at Wembley still. So I'm hoping that's going to help us.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to, I'm a bit nervous myself. I think, you know, obviously with Harry Kane, Dele Alli and players like Eriksen and players like that, you know, the defence is going to have their hands full as well. Because like I said, they're not going to sit back and like United did and not try and score. I'm sure they'll try and score, but that does kind of help us as well when we want to push on forward. I reckon we're going to win this one. What do you guys think?
I don't want to like be overly, I don't want to be like, I'm not that confident. I'm confident, but I'm trying to be a bit more realistic. So like, I think we'll win and I hope we'll win, but I'm not guaranteeing that we'll win. Just covering my own back there just in case anyone tries to quote me on this.
On all bases.
I'm a Liverpool fan, so I want to win, but I'm not like 100%. Because they are like playing their best football right now. So, and we're Liverpool.
So you reckon a draw?
Not a draw. I think we're going to win, but it'll be like close. It'll be like 2-1 or something. Or maybe just a jammy one.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either. Okay, cool. All right then. And any predictions? Anyone going to be brave?
I'll say 2-1 to us.
No clean sheet? Do you?
No, Karius isn't in goals, so...
Oh jeez, partial to Kerry.
Okay, all right then, Kerry.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good prediction. Not to try to steal it, but on a positive note, I am going to go with a win. So the fact that we were able to really finally put it in the net, I'll go with just to be different. I'll go with 3-1.
Yeah, I think maybe 3 clean sheets in a row is asking a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to get carried away now with ourselves. So, yeah, I reckon I'm going to agree with you, Kerry. I think 3-1 as well. Although my prediction is always wrong. Shit. Whatever. Right then. Okay, right. So we'll move on to... We did ask the Twitter people of Twitter to ask us some questions. And we did get some questions in the end.
Just a few.
Just a few, yeah. So I'm going to start with... One, I think that you both will be good at. I probably have probably no input in this at all. So Andy, Trippers Andy, has asked any of us play football? And if so, what's your favourite moment on the pitch? Now, let me answer first because, no, I've never played football. I think the last time I played football was probably at school or netball or something like that. And, yeah, so rounders. We used to have play girly games when I was at school, so it was none of this football stuff.
Any netball?
Yeah, netball. We used to play netball a lot. So not football, I'm afraid. I play sometimes in the house with the kids. They always nutmeg me. But that's about the extent of my footballing ability. We do penalty shootouts in the living room, but they're banned now since we got the house renovated. So no more penalty shootouts for them. But yeah, so I'm going to, Rupa, we'll go with you because I know you mentioned earlier that you did play some football. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, like, because I've got an older brother, I used to play with him and his friends, like, in the park. And then when I was about 8, I started playing properly, like, in school. And then I just love it, just love playing. The only struggle was, like, but especially back then, I say back then as if it was like ages ago, but it was like 12 years ago.
150.
Back in those days, when I was a young child. But yeah, about 12 years ago, it was quite tough to get like girls' teams. So when I was in like probably like year 5 or 6, so I was about 11, 12. Like that was when I was in my prime. And like it was just a struggle to get a team together. But we managed. We played like 5-a-side and then got a 7-a-side. So we did tournaments in school. And then I played for my local team, Caerphilly Ladies. And then trained with Cardiff City Ladies for a little while. And then I had to stop because of family. And then I just sort of, I played in school, in college. And then I came to uni and I was like, this is when I'm going to kickstart my football career again. And I dislocated my knee 3 days before trials. And I'm not telling you how I did it. I didn't do it like playing sport.
You did it running down the stairs or something.
Jumping into bed, but we won't talk about it.
Too much information.
I have a question then, Rupa. So is it becoming more popular for females to play football over here? Because when I first came over to the UK back in 2000, 2001, and I was like trying to just play pickup football, you know, on the side of the street. There was a bunch of kids playing. They were like, yeah, right. Like, you're a girl. You don't play. Yeah. And I was like, what? Like, it was just so weird to me.
Yeah.
So like, I guess that is changing a lot here then.
Yeah. Well, like, that's what I was saying. Like, when I was younger, it was like, I used to play with the boys at break times though. And I was literally, there was me and this other girl. All the other girls would go around like with a skipping rope and I'd go play football. And it was seen as weird, which is like, I was like, why is it so weird? Yeah. I play it all the time. But it's like now they're encouraging it. They're encouraging girls to get involved, and there's a lot more money in like schools for football and grassroots football, girls and boys. So yeah, but back then it was seen as weird. Like you know, my parents wouldn't encourage me to go to football. It was like my own choice, and I was like, no, I'm going.
Yeah.
Which is like,
so the stigma is pretty gone now then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, for kids nowadays it's much easier to access like girls football teams and stuff like that, but it was tough. I had a tough childhood.
You were discriminated against wanting to play football.
Yeah.
And what was your favourite moment on the pitch? That was another part of the question.
Oh, I'd probably say it was like my Coutinho-esque, actually I'll say Steven Gerrard-esque because it's more Steven Gerrard, 40-yard screamer in our school tournament. And we had, basically we couldn't put a team together, so we had like one day training before the tournament, and most of the girls just played because they wanted a day off school. So it was a case of we were playing with a bunch of girls who would not want to kick a football and they didn't know how to. So yeah, but we came second and I was pretty pleased with that. So that was my best
what
moment.
What position did you play?
Centre mid.
Okay. Steven Gerrard.
Yeah. The female Stevie G. That's me.
Yeah, good. Brilliant. And there's any video evidence of this goal that you claim to have scored?
No, I'm fine. Unless I can find my teacher on Facebook and then ask him, I'm not too sure. Because there was no like parents or anything.
We need to see this.
I'll try and get it. I'll ask a teacher if he has Facebook.
Brilliant, if you can. Yeah.
And Kerry, you played a lot, I believe. Yes, same position, center mid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually pretty versatile, but the one position I would never play is keeper. No way. I mean, I tried that and there's no way, but I started playing when I was 6, and in the U.S., you know, there's organized league, you know, for girls and boys, and my dad coached me for years, and I was obsessed with it, like obsessed to the point where I would practice by myself every day, like kicking the ball on the side of the house and like kicking it over the house and like so it would, you know, flop into the pool behind the house. It was like my goal to be able to kick it over the house. And then I played all the way up until university. And then like you said, like with you, like I had a really bad injury, so I could no longer play. But actually played for a school in Oklahoma, which I did not want to live in Oklahoma, but that was the only Division I school that I could get a scholarship for. So I wanted to play there. But my favorite moment, though, was when I was about 12 years old and my dad was coaching. We were like a hot pink team. And we were in like the finals for this competition. And it went down to penalties. And we lost in penalties. So there's all these 12-year-old girls in like hot pink shirts just like crying all over the field, you know. And my dad just doesn't know what to do because he's like, my dad's shocked that we lost. And there's all these girls crying. And my dad's just like, I don't know what to do. His female assistant coach couldn't make it that day. So that was one of my favorite moments.
Cool. Wow. Excellent. So we have a couple of footballers in our midst. brilliant. I have couple more questions for I don't even know how to say this. Is 4TE Republic? I'm sorry if I said that all wrong, but anyway, he's asking, do we follow other leagues, i.e. the Bundesliga, La Liga, or French League, or whatever? Do you see any differences to the English Premier League? Do you guys watch any other league football? I used to when I was little. When I was younger, it was all Italian football, so I used to watch that back in the day. But I'm not I don't really have time to watch a lot of, you know, Bundesliga. I might watch, you know, like if El Clasico is on or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, Real Madrid or Barcelona or something like that. But I wouldn't say I watch any of the leagues quite consistently.
I don't properly follow another league like that. I'll watch, like you said, like Bundesliga, because like Naby Keita and all that. I'll watch for like certain players, maybe like El Clasico. I'll sometimes watch like if Cardiff are playing or something. Like even like if I'm home and I can like pop down, then I may just go and watch Cardiff if Liverpool aren't playing. Things like that. But I don't properly follow. Like I'll check the scores maybe, see how like my local teams are doing. But I don't properly follow. I'll watch Barcelona every now and then. But no.
Kerry, do you watch any of the MLS up there in America?
Yeah. So now that I'm traveling and gone all the time, I don't really follow it as much. But when I'm home, I do. The local club is Orlando, and they were only established 3 years ago. So that's why it's funny for me when people are like, Liverpool, you know, you'll follow your local club. I'm like, yeah, we had a local club that was established as a major league soccer club only 3 years ago, but they have a really, really good following base. I went to a couple games. Like, they, in the new stadium, they have a brand new stadium. Doing well when it comes to having a good, you know, follower base. They don't do so well in major league soccer, but, you know, when Stevie G was out there, and when a few other big names come out there, I tend to take note of that as well. And I try to watch all of Stevie's games whenever he was playing. But I watch it when I can. When I'm home, I'm definitely watching Orlando City games, but I don't really follow it on the regular.
Cool. Right. I'm just going to explain to you that the fireworks have gone crazy behind me. bear with me.
I'm hearing them as well. I'm in London right now as well, so I'm hearing them. Yeah, they're here.
Cool. Anthony Stoneley asked, where's the Suarez money? I thought we spent it all as soon as he left on the 100 million that we bought Lovren and Lallana and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyone have a clue where that money went?
I may have borrowed a bit to invest.
Well, it's all gone on booze, isn't it? With
booze, shoes, everything.
Booze and shoes.
Booze and shoes. Things that ladies love the most.
Kerry, any idea?
I like that idea.
Kerry,
well,
you spent wine.
Yeah. Kerry's a bit classier than me. I'd go for vodka. She'd go straight for the wine.
Okay, wine and then flights. Flights to come over here for games.
Yeah. I'd spend all my money on probably clothes or some shit like that. It's so typical, isn't it?
Something typically female.
Can't give you anything. Yeah, I mean, I'm not into like massively into designer bags or shoes or anything. Like, I buy everything kind of thing, even home stuff.
What? I figured it would be your food bill.
That's where all the Suarez money went.
On a new blender.
My food bill, maybe.
Your food bill for making
my cake bill.
Yeah, making your cakes, making dinner, making sandwiches, right?
Yeah. So we stole the Suarez money. It's all on what? Wine, booze, shoes and cakes and steaks and stuff like that. So yeah, that's where all the Suarez is.
Sorry.
Okay.
This one's interesting because David Lennon, 1974, might be a hint on where he was born, when he was born, sorry. He wants our unbiased opinions on who is favourite for the World Games. Now, I don't know if you girls are familiar with the World Games. It's something that the day trippers are doing, and it's this skills zone thingy, and it's like a 10 event course that they do, and they do different sporty things in it. This is a really shit explanation, but people listen to the day trippers will know what I mean. Basically, Steve-O, Jamie, Phil and Andy, I believe, are gonna compete against each other, and then they're gonna be crowned World Games champion or something like that. So but they want to know who is gonna win. So I personally, for me, it would be like a mother choosing from her children. I wouldn't have a clue which one is going to win it.
My money's on...
I'll let you guys answer and I'll have a think.
Okay, my money's on Jamie, just because I don't really know the others. And also, I don't know, Jamie just seems like he'd probably win. So,
because...
Yeah. I don't know, he just seems the type.
Have you seen, is it because you've seen his arms?
Yeah.
That he shows off a lot?
Maybe.
Okay, all right then.
That might have something to do with it.
Maybe. Okay, so all right then. Rupa reckons Jamie. Kerry?
Wait, who's in the competition again? Can you say that one more time? Is Jamie and who else?
Steve-O, Phil and Andy, who you know anyway.
How are they going to ask this question and have us?
Yeah.
You pick one of them. You get in trouble for not picking the other.
You have to
answer the question. I like how you get out of it, Umara.
I'm thinking because I do know all of them. So, but I don't know them, you know, personally. But I kind of know them a little bit from
World Games. So it's all these different game.
Yeah, so a sporting event. There's
why like are we invited?
Yeah, no.
I think
that's discrimination
then.
Right there.
I think we should protest.
Yeah, I think we should join into this event.
Wait, I know why. It's because they're afraid we'll win.
I would win it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one of us is going to win it. Screw trying to pick one of them.
Well, there you go. Challenge
That's
for the
my
day.
Cop out. My cop out is either you are going to win Umara or Rupa. There you go.
Well, bring it on.
I'm too late.
Oh, God. I have no clue who's going to win it either. I think, you know, if I pick the person who I think is going to win it, then everyone's going to think I'm being biased. So how do they know?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So
it's a trap. Don't answer.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any of their sporty skills. So
yeah,
I'll just have to go by what little bit I know. And like Rupa, like you said with Jamie, maybe
yeah,
he would
the
be
arms.
A candidate. Because we're just digging ourselves holes.
I know.
I'm going to go for Andy because I know what he does for a living. So I think that keeps him fit. There you go. That's my answer. We won't go into any more details. I think we'll just leave it where it is. Oh, God. But anyway, let's just move on to the next question. There's a question. This is a bit of a naughty one, actually. It's from a couple of weeks ago because Red Mysterio asked us this question. And it got left out in the first pod, and I said to him, when I host, I will bring it in. He said, if you married a man and his surname was Loose Fanny, would you change you? And bear in mind, you have to change your name here. What would you do?
So would I marry him?
Yeah. Would Loose you marry him? I think fan. Was the question.
Well, it yeah. depends.
That,
like,
and you have to change your surname. What do you do there?
Loose Fanny.
Situation?
Rupert Loose Fanny. No, I don't like that.
I don't think, yeah, I think that was the point.
Rupert
Loose Fanny. Not meant to sound great.
It depends, like...
Would you refuse to marry this guy? Bear in mind, this guy's perfect, yeah, in every single way.
So
he
basically...
He has this really ridiculous surname.
Basically, he's Luis Carius, and
yeah.
He's in love with me, and I'm in love with him. Then, yeah, I suppose I would.
You would.
We would have beautiful children, so yes.
You would be Mrs. Loose Fanny. Brilliant.
No, I'll hyphen it, Loose Fanny Vias.
She's still there. Okay, Kerry, what would you do? Kerry looks funny.
Oh God,
I had to hear how that sounded.
Yeah,
you agreed to it.
God, what kind of a question is this?
Well, you know, I did promise him I'd add it in at some point.
We did say ask
so,
anything.
We did,
so
we did.
Oh man, would I marry? They call Loose Fanny. Why do we have to get married?
Point. That's a point. I mean, technically, you could get out of it, then, couldn't you? If you didn't get married.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna go with the superficial statement, like Rufus said. If he looks like Emre Can, then yeah, sure.
Who gives a shit what the surname sounds like? Eh? So
yeah,
I was thinking if you just change the pronunciation. So instead of Loose Fanny, it could be. You could say it's not Loose Fanny. It's Lucephany or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. But you're not gonna you're gonna have to explain that to every single person you come across.
Yeah. You would, but
and don't be a teacher. You can't
say actually.
But you can't be a teacher. Because imagine that, like Mrs. Loose Fanny.
The story of my life now is having to explain every single time how to pronounce my name. So it does get old.
I get that a little bit, but mine's a bit pretty obvious.
Mine's
I think.
The easiest surname in the world. So I was going to say there was this comedy program on when I was little. Rupert, you won't know. You weren't even anywhere in the world then. But it was basically called Keeping Up Appearances, and the woman
I know
was
that
the lead Hyacinth.
Hyacinth Bouquet.
Yeah, but it wasn't Bouquet. It was
Bucket.
And she would tell everyone it was Bouquet. Because she was trying to be posh. Do you
yeah.
remember that, Kerry?
I used to watch that.
Oh, you used what? To watch that. I thought Kerry said you. Okay, you used,
what?
Maybe you used to watch the reruns then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she would go around telling everyone her name was Bouquet. So yeah, we could do a similar sort of thing with the surname
Yeah, Stephanie.
If we're ever in that situation. I'm luckily not in that situation now. Either, so. If you guys ever meet someone called...
Oh, God. I'll avoid them. I won't speak to them. So I won't get in that situation.
You have to, because this guy will, like you said, be Laurie's courier. Oh. He's being crazy in love with you, so you would have to.
Okay, fine. Yeah, but think about the kids. The poor kids. They'll be like, Bob, loose funny.
That's your problem. You married him. So. You need to think about that. But yeah, so there you go. We asked your questions. We honoured, I fulfilled my promise there for you. So there you go. And that's it for the questions, I think. Is there any cheeky mentions that you want to add, Rupa?
Well, I think I've already mentioned him enough, but hi, Peter.
I think if anyone doesn't know the story behind Peter and Rupa,
ask Peter.
Go on Twitter and have a look at a couple of their exchanges earlier, and it will all be very clear. I thought we should start a cheeky mentions segment. So if anyone wants to cheeky mention anyone,
hashtag cheeky mention.
Hashtag cheeky mention, definitely.
Yep.
Any cheeky mentions, Kerry?
Well, after talking about Emery Chan twice, I should probably mention my boyfriend.
Yeah, give him a shout out. Yeah, definitely.
I'll give him a shout out.
What's his Twitter handle? Follow. Cheeky mention.
Yeah, no, he is on Twitter. He actually didn't really use Twitter until we got together. Like, he used it a little bit, but I just kind of yelled at him. I'm like, well, what's the point of having an account if you're not going to use it? And now he uses it all the time. More than I do. So he's Matty Line, or I should say Matty Line. Yeah.
Ah,
that's him.
Cute. Yeah. You both give your boyfriends cheeky shout-outs. My husband's not on Twitter, so...
Boyfriend? Excuse me.
Sorry, I just made him your boyfriend.
Yeah, I know.
Too late, done.
Well, if Amara said it's true, then it's true.
You heard it here first, Pete. Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, I think on that note, I think we should wrap the pod up now. So just leaves me to say that the Chris Shankly pod that I mentioned earlier should be out in the next couple of days, kind of probably around about the same time as this pod. It's going to be a double release for you because we have held it back so long now. I think we talked about the Newcastle game, but it's still relevant, hopefully. And I just want to say thanks to Rupa and Kerry for joining me, and we shall see you next time on Ladies in Red.